Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We are a two-man car. My name is Ruben Nava. My partner, Jesse Romero. We're both retired L.A. County sheriffs, deputy sheriffs, and, you know, we both love the Catholic faith. We love it. We teach it. We share it whenever we can. And, Jesse, we've been talking about, we've been hearing for the last 9 or 10 months all the stuff about this COVID-19 and what it's done to our country. And now we have the vaccine, and we're going to be talking about, is it morally, are we morally justified in taking this, or can we go ahead as Catholics in good conscience take this vaccine? So we're going to explore all that. Good morning, Jess.
Yeah, good morning, Ruben. Reporting for duty, 10-8. Ruben, we're in a very precarious time in world history right now. We've never been where we're at. In any of the time in history, like right now. And I say that because we've had other viruses in times past. There's never been a mandatory vaccine. And all of a sudden, there's this mad rush to cure everybody. And to me, Ruben, again, my Catholic sensibilities, my common sense sensibilities, it tells me that there's something more here than meets the eye. I just don't trust big pharma. I don't trust big government. I don't trust big tech. And they're all in this together. We've got to vaccinate everybody. So whittling a couple of documents, and I'm not saying that we're going to be able to answer everybody's question right now, but at least we're going to start the conversation. This will probably be going on for days or weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Vatican has issued a doctrinal note. And unfortunately right now, Ruben, I'm just to be honest with you, I think we're living in the times we are. We're Our Lady of Akita, Japan, she said that you'd have cardinals versus cardinals, popes, you know, bishops versus the pope, priests versus priests. We're seeing that right now because even on this topic that we're going to address right now, there's no universal consensus. And but the Vatican has issued a statement, so we'll take a look at it, and then we'll look at some other articles from other bishops and theologians who actually take issue with it. So we'll take this very slow. The document, it says Vatican issues doctrinal note in anti-COVID-19 vaccines. So this is from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith that says that while in no way endorsing vaccines derived from aborted fetuses, okay, that's an important part, they are morally licit because procured abortion from which these cell lines originate is on the part of those making use of the resulting vaccines remote. So I guess the CDF is saying that those that have culpability of anything about using aborted fetal cell lines are the people that are manufacturing it and making it, not the ones using it. That's what it starts off saying. So let's get right into the document itself. Okay. The document came out December 21st. And here's what it says. Note on the morality of using some anti-COVID-19 vaccines. We'll take each paragraph slow because this is real critical. And we'll try to see, try to get some understanding as to what they're saying.
Yeah.
The question of the use in vaccines in general is often at the center of controversy in the form of public opinion. In recent months, this congregation has received several requests for guidance regarding the use of vaccines against the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19, which in the course of research and production employed cell lines drawn from tissue obtained from two abortions that occurred in the last century. At the same time, diverse and sometimes conflicting pronouncements in the mass media by bishops, Catholic associations, and experts have raised questions about the morality of the use of these vaccines. There's already an important pronouncement of the Pontifical Academy for Life on this issue. There's back in June 2005, one document was written, September 2008. Another document was written, and and in 2017 another document. So a lot of this is basically a compilation of three prior documents written on this topic. So it says, since the first vaccines against COVID-19 are already available for distribution and administration in various countries, this congregation desires to offer some indications for clarification of this matter. We do not intend to judge the safety and efficacy of these vaccines, although ethically relevant and necessary, as this evaluation is the responsibility of biomedical researchers and drug agencies. So let's remember that the church has a purview, faith, and morals. So we're getting into science here. And so the church can't make any scientific pronouncements. The church is not a scientific laboratory, but the church can make ethical or moral pronouncements. And it says the last sentence here, then I'll flip it over to Ruben. We'll go back and forth. Here, our objective is only to consider the moral aspects of the use of the vaccines against COVID-19 that have been developed from cell lines derived from tissues obtained from two fetuses that were not spontaneously aborted.
Mm. Yeah, Jess, you wonder how they could use these cells from the abortions having so far removed, you know, back in the 70s and the 80s. But they just keep reproducing these cells. They have ways to replicate these cells so they can use them over and over and over again. So I was wondering that myself. So the first point they make is that as the instruction of Dignitatis Personae, that's one of the documents that they took information from, states, in cases where cells from aborted fetuses are employed to create cell lines for use in scientific research, quote, there exist differing degrees of responsibility, end quote. Cooperation in evil, for example, in organizations where cell lines of illicit origin are being utilized, the responsibility of those who make the decision to use them is not the same as that of those who have no voice in such a decision.
And here's the way I think that would apply. Let me just give you an example. Like, for example, I'm in a pretty good position, Ruben, because, and so are you. We're retired, we're older, our kids, we've raised our kids, so if they say, okay, we want everybody to start taking this vaccine, me and my wife are going to say, no, we're not going to do it. There's not a whole lot they can. Now, if they start saying, well, you can't even use your ATM. Your ATM is locked. You can't take out any money. You can't shop at Safeway or, you know, Walmart or whatever market. We're not accepting your credit card.
Or fly.
You can't fly. You haven't been vaccinated. Your Shell and your Chevron card has been suspended. Now, they can make it to the point where you can't do anything if they decide to go that far and push it. If somebody just exercises what I would call their Patients' Rights Act, Privacy Act, which the Patient Rights Privacy Act, if you've ever read it, it's in every doctor's office. It says you could refuse medication. For example, if a doctor says, you got cancer, Jess Romero, you're on your way out, I recommend forthwith, starting Monday, we start chemotherapy. And I can tell the doctor, thanks, doc, I appreciate your your recommendations, but no, I'm not gonna take chemotherapy. I'm gonna grind it out, just let the Lord take me as He sees fit.
Yeah,
that's my right. The police can't handcuff me and force me to take chemotherapy. That's called the Patient's Rights Privacy Act. So I think, Ruben, in my opinion, I think there's going to be a whole lot of people like myself and others that will bring a lawsuit, and we will win.
Yeah,
we will win because it never in history have people been forced to take medication. Never. Oh, well, the Nazis did. But again, you had no choice then for them to inject you with whatever they wanted to inject you with. And so I think when this goes to the courts, this is going to be a no-brainer for any court. They're going to say, yeah, no medical association or doctor's office can make you take any vaccination against your will. So that's where I think this is going to head, Ruben.
Jess, well, as just playing the devil's advocate, what about when we were growing up and we had to take the vaccines for polio and measles and all that stuff to get into school. You know, they could say, well, you know,
that's what they're going to do with the young parents.
Yeah.
That's how they're going to make them basically get in line and conform, because, again, they're going to threaten you out. Your kids can't go to school until people in our generation start filing lawsuits and we win. But that's how they're going to get the young people to get in line, basically.
And so the left, they want to say when it comes to abortion, my body, my choice. But when it comes to this, they don't allow us to have our choice.
You know? You got it. Right? The hypocrisy is is unbelievable.
So
let me do a paragraph number two.
Yeah.
In this sense, when ethically irreproachable COVID-19 vaccines are not available, for example, in countries where vaccines without ethical problems are not made available to physicians and patients, or where their distribution is more difficult due to special storage and transport conditions, or when various types of vaccines are distributed in the same country, but health authorities do not allow citizens to choose the vaccine with which to be inoculated, it is morally acceptable to receive COVID-19 vaccines that have used cell lines from aborted fetuses in their research and production process. By the way, that sentence right there, many bishops and priests, I can tell you, like Bishop Cardinal Burke, Bishop Snyder, Archbishop Vigano, Father Ripperger, there's many people that take issue with that statement right there.
Right. Our very own Bishop Strickland.
Yeah, Bishop Strickland as well. Yeah.
All right, we'll be
Jesus 911. Yeah, we'll be back. Stick around. This is the topic of the day.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. Fear has two meanings: forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. The choice is yours. We fight. You got fight or flight, and we always fight, Jesse.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's Ruben. I tell people, life is short, death is for sure, sin is a problem, and Jesus is the cure. What they're trying to do right now, Ruben, the left, the globalists, the mainstream media, what they're trying to do is use it's an old tactic. It's called hysteria. They're trying to, just like you mentioned, hysteria, just trying to gin up people's fears that the world's going to basically end if everybody doesn't vaccinate themselves. You're going to be a carrier of COVID-19. You're going to kill your neighbors. And so this hysteria has people thinking irrationally. In other words, you can't think sense. The first thing that people tell you when you want to just, even a psychiatrist or psychologist, when they want to get you to think rationally and reasonably, they'll say, okay, knock it off. Okay. Empty your mind from all this fear and hysteria. Okay, get a grip on yourself. Okay, let's walk through this slowly. You know, take a breath, as they say, take a breath. That's what we need to do as a society. We need to take a breath and realize, wait a minute, how many people are dying from this? Not many, not many. When you look at, like, I mean, the bubonic plague, back in the Middle Ages, or, many other plagues and pestilences in times past.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, where a third of Europe died, Ruben.
Yeah.
Yeah, go
Jesse,
ahead.
I read something in passing the other day. It said something like 650 people have OD'd in San Francisco, and 120 or 130 have died of COVID. But you don't see them stop giving out those needles, allowing these hypes and dopers to keep killing themselves. So the numbers are, and as we know more about what causes COVID and how to treat it, the death rate is going down, the mortality rate is going down, but they just keep throwing at us these numbers. Oh, cases, we got cases. My daughter has it right now. She does home health. She's a physical therapist. And so she goes in, and some of her patients have COVID. So she's all suited up, a mask and and then also the shield and a suit on. And she still caught it, but she's going to get over it. She had some body aches and felt terrible for a couple of days. But she's on the upswing because she's healthy. She's young and she's an athlete. We recommend that you take your vitamins. I take tons of D and zinc and vitamin C and all these things so that my body's going to be ready to fight it when if that should happen. And I'm not afraid of it, Jess.
I'm not, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't walk around, Ruben. We walk around in faith, not in fear. Fear, that's one of the strategies of Satan, is to get you to live in fear. Ruben, yeah. I want to jump to the next article because it really addresses everything that the CDF put. It's called On the Moral Illicitness of the Use of Vaccines Made from Cells Derived from Aborted Human Fetuses, because it addresses everything that the CDF article puts out. It basically repeats it, but it addresses it with some other bishops that just don't seem to agree. It says here, in recent weeks, news agencies and various information sources have reported that in response to the COVID-19 emergency, some countries have produced vaccines using cell lines from aborted human fetuses. In other countries, such vaccines are being planned. Surprise, surprise. Okay, that didn't, you know, with Bill Gates being behind this, of course, that's exactly what they're going to do. So it says, a growing chorus of churchmen, bishops, conferences, individual bishops, and priests has said that in the event that no alternative vaccine using ethically licit substances is available, it would be morally permissible for Catholics to receive vaccines made from the cell lines of aborted babies. Supporters of this position invoke two documents of the Holy See. Again, one written on June 9, 2005, another one September 8, 2008. Both of these documents allow for such use of vaccines in exceptional cases, there it is, exceptional cases, on a limited time on the basis of what theology is called remote passive material cooperation with evil. And the article will get deeper into this. The aforementioned documents assert that Catholics who use these vaccines at the same time have the duty to make known their disagreement and to ask that their healthcare system make other types of vaccines available. Ruben?
Yeah. And I don't know if you mentioned this, but this article was taken from the Remnant newspaper and it was written by Bishop Schneider and Strickland. So
This is just redacted from the Remnant.
Yeah,
redacted.
Exactly. But, you know, you could see the clarity, the way these bishops speak. There's no and ifs or buts. It's just straight to the point. It goes on to say, in the case of vaccines made from the cell lines of aborted human fetuses, we see a clear contradiction between the Catholic doctrine to categorically and beyond the shadow of any doubt reject abortion in all cases as a grave moral evil that cries out to heaven for vengeance. And that's right in the Catechism 2268 and 2270 of the Catechism. And of the practice regarding vaccines derived from aborted fetal cell lines as morally acceptable in exceptional cases of urgent need. That's in quotes, urgent needs. On the grounds of remote passive material cooperation, to argue that such vaccines can be morally licit if there is no alternative is in itself contradictory and cannot be acceptable for Catholics.
Wow. And again, they're basing it on the fact that what the Catechism says about abortion in 2268 and 2270, in the strongest terms, this is one of the four sins that cries out to heaven for vengeance. Of all the mortal sins, I mean, mortal sin sends you to hell. But in the category of mortal sins, there are four mortal sins, which are we could call mortal sins on steroids. And one is the killing of an innocent human being. And having anything to do with that industry, like abortion or remote cooperation with it in some way, shape, or form, is to once again, it's like being you're in the getaway car. And when somebody in your car did a drive-by shooting, he shot somebody. But you're in the car. You're driving it. You're riding shotgun. Guess what? When the police pull you over, you're all going to jail.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you had proximate. You had something to do with this. You had remote culpability. You're in the car. You knew he was going to do that. You didn't stop it. In fact, you probably advised him and encouraged him to do so. The article, next paragraph says,
hey, Jess, I just want to say something.
Sure.
That analogy won't work in L.A. anymore with this new DA that they just elected. Just tell you that right now.
Ruben, I read in another article that the new DA in Los Angeles was planted there. He was planted there by George Soros' money.
Yeah.
He funded his candidacy, and it was George Soros that basically orchestrated everything for him to win.
Absolutely. I heard the same thing. And it's a shame that he wore the badge. He was an LAPD high-ranking official. And it's just disturbing.
He's a sellout.
Yeah, no, there's a recall effort on him already, too.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So it says, one ought to recall the following words of Pope John Paul II regarding the dignity of the unborn human life. The inviolability of the person, which is a reflection of the absolute inviolability of God, finds its primary and fundamental expression in the inviolability of human life. Above all, the common outcry which is justly made on behalf of human rights, for example, the right to life, to home, to work, to family, to culture, is false and illusory.
Right.
If the right to life, the most basic and fundamental right and the condition for all other personal rights, is not defended with maximum determination. Now, here's my comment. I would say that being complicit in the industry of vaccinating Catholics and people with aborted fetal cells is not to defend the unborn. You're not using maximum determination to defend the unborn, especially if we're being complicit and if the church is saying, yeah, there's no problem with that. It says using vaccines made from cells of murdered unborn children contradicts a maximum determination to defend human life. So this is the opposition bishops that are speaking out against the CDF document that just came out. And this is exactly what Akita Japan says was going to happen in our time, Ruben.
Yeah.
Bishops fighting against bishops. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it goes on to say the theological principle of material cooperation is certainly valid and may be applied to the whole host of cases, e.g. paying taxes, the use of products made from slave labor, and so on. However, this principle can hardly be applied to the case of vaccines made from fetal cell lines because those who knowingly and voluntarily receive such vaccines enter into a kind of concatenation. That just means a series of interconnected things or events, albeit very remote, and the process of the abortion industry. The crime of abortion is so monstrous that any kind of concatenation with this crime, even a very remote one, is immoral and cannot be accepted under any circumstances by a Catholic once he has become fully aware of it. One who uses these vaccines must realize that his body is benefiting from the fruits, although steps removed through a series of chemical processes, of one of mankind's greatest crimes.
That's the money sentence right there, Ruben. That's the money sentence, that last one you read.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll read it again. One who uses these vaccines must realize that his body is benefiting from the fruits, even though it's, removed many steps from in the chemical process, of one of mankind's greatest crimes.
Wow, that's the money verse right there. Next paragraph says, any link to the abortion process, even the most remote and implicit, will cast a shadow over the church's duty to bear unwavering witness to the truth that abortion must be utterly rejected. The ends cannot justify the means. Oh. We are living through one of the worst.
Oh, I don't know, Jess, you froze up.
Okay, go ahead, Ruben, if I froze up.
Okay, you're back. But,
Okay. The ends cannot justify the means. Mm-hmm. We are living through one of the worst genocides known to man. Millions upon millions of babies throughout the world have been slaughtered in the mother's womb, and day after day, this hidden genocide continues through the abortion industry. Biomedical research and fetal technology, and pushed by governments and international bodies to promote such vaccines as one of their goals. Ruben, this is how they're going to continue this whole worship of the god Moloch and these pagan deities that require animal sacrifice and empower demons. Now they're doing it. They're just saying, hey, I got a PhD, and this is something that's necessary, this fetal technology. This is necessary. You don't got a PhD, Ruben, and just shut your mouth and just listen. Get in line and listen to us. We're the experts. Satan is using, Ruben, people that have PhDs in science and medicine to continue the Old Testament practice of child sacrifice to the demon gods of the Philistines and the Edomites.
Yeah. Well, the one guy that doesn't have a PhD is Bill Gates. He's a dropout in high school albeit, you know, he was.
And he's behind all this.
Yeah, but they go to him as like the go-to guy. Wait a second, man. You were computers, you know, Microsoft. And so what do you know about vaccines? And, I mean, you know, he's putting a lot of money. He's got his own foundation. But got some bad history with the vaccines he's pushing.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. We're iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. And Jesse, we're hearing from these bishops a clarion.
They're pushing back, Ruben. They're pushing back.
And so one thing that I was thinking about on the break was that These people who maybe have low information or aren't privy to, you know, what we're talking about today, they're going to go along with what the, you know, mainstream, the deep church is saying.
Yeah, right.
And so their culpability is going to be lessened. It still will be sinful, but it'll be lessened. And it falls back on our leaders.
Ruben, they're going to pay for it, Ruben, not the people. That they are going to pay for it because the people just, again, they just have a simple, pious faith and stuff. They don't have time to be researching all these things. They're going to leave it to the experts, especially the moral experts. And, you said it right. Right now we're living under the time where there's a deep church and a deep state. So we're dealing against two evils right now, Ruben.
And that's how St. John Chrysostom can say that the road to hell is paved with erring priests. So,
yes,
priests and bishops, yeah.
Bishops, mitres, he actually said as well. Mm-hmm. Ruben, by the way, you talked about Gates. Gates also has tried this before. Bill Gates is a depopulation nut, yeah. And he's a billionaire. He's not a scientist. He's not a PhD. He's a college dropout that's an expert on software, computers and stuff. That's his expertise. But back in 2014, I'm going to remind people that he committed $10 billion to these vaccines over for these in Kenya for this, disease that was occurring over in Kenya. I think it was for a tetanus vaccine. And so he funded $10 billion to the Kenyan doctors. And what ended up happening? The women who took the vaccine ended up becoming sterilized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now Kenya wants nothing to do with Bill Gates. They don't even want him to ever come into the country. But because through his vaccine, he caused mass sterilization, which here is in my take. Okay, this is not my conspiracy theory side. This is my rational side.
Yeah.
This is exactly what he wants to do in the West, Ruben. The man thinks that there's too many people on planet Earth.
Yep.
And what better way to sterilize men and women, those that are childbearing age, than force them to take a vaccine, which nobody's going to push back. They're going to say, okay, well, I got to take this to go to work. And all of a sudden cause universal sterilization. And what's the implication? This guy hasn't even thought about the implications of that Frankenstein science. What happens, Ruben? No more babies being born on planet Earth.
That's exactly what he wants, you know.
Yeah,
the elite are going to have they're going to be able to live. But it's you know, middle America.
And they'll probably be able to have their babies, too, because they probably won't get vaccinated.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The elite won't get vaccinated. So the elite, the Madonnas, the Beyoncés, the rich and famous, the, you know, Ariana, they can have babies. We only want babies from the rich and wealthy. We don't want babies from the blue collar people. This is where I see this going, Ruben. And I think. The time will vindicate my position. Let me finish this last paragraph here. It says,
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Now is the time for Catholics to yield. To do so would be grossly irresponsible. The acceptance of these vaccines by Catholics on the grounds that they involve only a remote, passive, and material cooperation with evil would play into the hands of the church's enemies and weaken her as the last stronghold against the evil of abortion. Bingo, that's the money verse right there. That's exactly what they want to do. They want to weaken the Catholic Church's position because, Ruben, we're the last firewall.
Mm-hmm.
against abortion. The church is teaching. I'm not talking about, you know, present company right now who's running the church. I'm talking about the church's teachings. And if they can get the prelates right now governing the church to change the church's teachings, the firewall of this Holocaust industry called abortion is gone.
That's right. And they, you know, these big pharma and like the world, these people from who are the Vatican just made a deal with these globalists, and they want to, they don't want anything to do with the Catholic Church. They're not Catholics. They don't believe what we believe, but they want that moral authority to be there in their corner. See, hey, we got the church with us, you know, we're buddies. And so people will be more apt to embrace it.
They want to pacify their evil conscience too, Ruben, in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Go ahead and share the next paragraph.
What this
starts? It says, what else can a vaccine derive from fetal cells?
Okay, what else can a vaccine derived from fetal cell lines be other than a violation of the God-given order of creation? For it is based on a serious violation of this order through the murder of an unborn child. Had this child not been denied the right to life, had his cells, which have been further cultivated several times in the lab, not been made available for the production of a vaccine, they could not be marketed. So we, therefore, have here a double violation of God's holy order, on the one hand through the abortion itself, and on the other hand through the heinous business of trafficking and marketing the remains of aborted children. Yet this double disregard for the divine order of creation can never be justified, not even on the grounds of preserving the health of a person or society through such vaccines. And you know, just when you think about, you know, back in the day when some of our mothers were having childbirth and they said, well, you know what, if we give birth, you could lose your life. Well, you're not allowed to let them abort your baby to save your life. I mean, morally.
I mean,
the doctor.
Correct.
Yeah. So remember, the end doesn't justify the means. So we can't be used.
Not in Catholicism.
No.
Yeah.
Our society has created a substitute religion. Health has been made the highest good. A substitute God to whom sacrifices must be offered, in this case through a vaccine based on the death of another human being.
Good paragraph. Wow. In examining the ethical questions surrounding vaccines, we have to ask ourselves, how and why did all this become possible? Was there truly no alternative? Why did murder-based technology emerge in medicine, whose purpose is instead to bring life and health? Biomedical research that exploits the innocent unborn and uses their bodies as raw material for the purpose of vaccines seems to be more akin to cannibalism than medicine.
Yeah.
We also ought to consider that for some in the biomedical industry, the cell lines of unborn children are a product. The abortionists and vaccine manufacturer are the supplier, and the recipients of the vaccine are the consumers. Wow, those are good connections right there. Technology based on murder is rooted in hopelessness and despair. We must resist the myth that there is no alternative. On the contrary, we must proceed with the hope and conviction that alternatives exist and that human ingenuity with the help of God can discover them. This is the only way to pass from darkness to light and from death to life.
That's right. You got to look at the virus. This is it's a real virus. I've heard you say that on yesterday's show. And it is, and people have died from it, but people are dying from the flu every year.
And greater numbers.
Yeah. So, you know, and the article goes on to say, the Lord said that in the end times, even the elect will be seduced in Mark 13:22. Today, the entire church and all the Catholic faithful must urgently seek to be strengthened in the doctrine and practice of the faith in confronting the evil of abortion more than ever. Catholics must abstain from all appearances of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Bodily health is not an absolute value. Obedience to the law of God and the eternal salvation of the souls must be given primacy. Vaccines derived from the cells of cruelly murdered unborn children are clearly apocalyptic in character and may possibly foreshadow the mark of the beast.
Wow. Good line. I mean, The mark of the beast back in the book of Revelation, that means intellectual submission to Nero, and also in your mind, that's where it says the mark will be on your forehead and in your right hand. Right hand is indication of labor you work for. So it's intellectual submission to a dictator. Back then it was Nero, Caesar Nero, and also willfully working for this dictator as well. It could be in a position as a slave or just basically doing his evil bidding. Next paragraph says, some churchmen in our day reassure the faithful by affirming that receiving a COVID-19 vaccine derived from the cell lines of an aborted child is morally licit if an alternative is not available. They justify their assertion on the basis of material and remote cooperation with such evil. Such affirmations are extremely anti-pastoral and counterproductive, especially when one considers the increasingly apocalyptic character of the abortion industry and the inhuman nature of some of the biochemical research and embryonic technology. Now more than ever, Catholics categorically cannot encourage and promote the sin of abortion, even in the slightest, by accepting these vaccines. Therefore, as successors of the apostles and shepherds responsible for the eternal salvations of souls, we consider it impossible to be silent and maintain an ambiguous attitude regarding our duty to resist with maximum determination against the unspeakable crime of abortion. And that's from a few bishops that are, again, part of the resistance movement.
Yeah. Okay, so the statement was written at the advice and counsel of doctors and scientists from various countries. A substantial contribution also came from the laity, from grandmothers, grandfathers, fathers and mothers of families, and from young people. All of those consulted, independent of age, nationality, and profession, unanimously and almost instinctively rejected the idea of a vaccine derived from the cell lines of aborted children. Furthermore, they considered the justification offered for using such vaccines, i.e. material remote cooperation, as weak and unsuitable. This is comforting and at the same time very revealing. Their unanimous response is a further demonstration of the strength of reason and the sensus fidei.
Yeah, sensus fidei, that's the sense of the faithful. That's what Catholics basically, based on the grace of the sacraments, you know something's right, you know something's wrong, that's universal, that's burned in our heart through the Holy Spirit by the grace of the sacraments. And again, Catholics just know intuitively, Reuben, something's fishy about remote cooperation with these aborted fetal lines of vaccine. Jesus 911, we'll be right back. We'll continue on this topic.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back, Jesus 911. Jess, a friend of the show, Laura Chavez, sent me something, and it's on the document that USCCB put out, Moral Consideration Regarding the New COVID-19 Vaccines. And the fine print at the bottom of the document, it says, the vaccines will be distributed and administered. It seems reasonable to expect that there will be little or no consumer choice in the near future. The choice of vaccine may also be limited by considerations of safety and efficacy. Some vaccines may produce better results with certain age groups, such as children. Some may have more appropriate for those with certain health conditions. So if one were to refuse the vaccinations, one would have a moral responsibility to undertake all the precautions necessary to ensure that one does not become a carrier of the disease to others. Precautions which may, include some form of self-isolation. So there's the scaring us. They're putting the fear in us. Oh, look, it's going to be mandatory. You're not going to be able to get away with it. And then if you choose not to, then you've got the moral responsibility to keep people from getting infected. It boggles the mind that.
Reuben, this is what Barack Obama called fundamentally changing our country. Remember that promise?
Yep.
people don't realize this is part of the fundamental change of America to socialism, which is communism light. And Barack Obama, he unleashed this, and Joe Biden will finish it off if he steals the election. Right now, by the way, Ruben, we're on YouTube Nazi. We're on YouTube jail right now. I just got a text from our engineer that YouTube has basically banned our show because of what we're talking about. So we are right now on YouTube jail because YouTube basically disagrees with what we're saying. So in other words, YouTube is saying that what we're saying is fake. That they're the moral arbiters, these millennials that write these algorithms. They're the ones that determine what should be put out through the internet and what should not be put out. And I guess this topic has been deemed fake. Wow. That we are.
So the fact checkers from the Silicon Valley, these left yuppies up there that are determining what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah. Richard has something to say. Richard, go ahead. What about the show?
We can't hear you, Richard.
Okay, I can hear you. I heard Richard. The show's being uploaded, he said, to Rumble. A show's being uploaded to Rumble. Rumble does not censor anything. It's a conservative, site that allows free speech. So
We'll Rumble in the jungle, Jesse.
Yeah, exactly. That's most people are going to Rumble and partner Ruben because those are conservative outlets that don't censor anything. Free speech is the Constitution is respected. So more and more we're going to be going to Parler and Rumble as the left keeps on censoring us. Let me finish this off, Ruben. It says, by the way, this a lot of this article that we're taking was written by the speeches or the writings of Cardinal Janusz Pujats, Tomasz Peta, another archbishop, both these are archbishops, another archbishop of Karaganda, Jan Powalenga, Joseph Strickland, Tyler, Texas, Bishop Athanasius Snyder, St. Mary in Astana, Kazakhstan. So these are five prelates, Ruben, that are putting themselves out, and they're basically modern day St. Athanasiuses, and they're saying, you know what, this is what the church has taught everywhere, always, and for all people, and we're going to push back. The last paragraph says, more than ever, we need the spirit of the confessors and martyrs who avoided the slightest suspicion of collaboration with the evil of their own age. The word of God says, be simple as children of God without reproach in the midst of a depraved and perverse generation in which you must shine like lights in the world. God bless these five prelates. And it says, this is not the first time brave bishops have spoken out about the use of unethical vaccines. An example of such bishops being predictably accused of misinformation was seen in an article written by the liberal Jesuit America magazine after making pro-life vaccine-related statements back in November. So, yeah, the Jesuit vaccine went against some of the bishops for speaking out against these vaccines already because, American magazine is just a magazine for the leftist, the deep state left, which is they're connected in the hip, Ruben, with the deep state in the country.
Yeah, I pull up another article. It's actually it's from a TV. These Brittany Glass and Cindy St. Clair, KSL TV, wherever that's at. But you know, for what it's worth, they said that the first doses of Pfizer vaccine were administered in Utah. This is a Utah station. That's what it
is. Okay,
and they said that. Investigators dove into claims on social media that COVID-19 vaccines contain or utilize fetal cell lines in their development. In the case of Pfizer vaccine, that was recently approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Those claims are false. So they're saying Pfizer doesn't have the aborted fetal cells. But they also said that Moderna doesn't have it, and Bishop Strickland disagrees with that, you know, that Moderna is one of those that does use it. But what they say is that they use a mRNA vaccine, and the primary ingredient in this vaccine is messenger RNA or mRNA. The mRNA is synthetically created in a lab and therefore does not rely on research cell lines for mass production of vaccines. And so it just takes a little snippet of genetic code, and it's tucked inside a teeny fat bubble called a lipid nanoparticle. And, it's it's put in you. But there's the other vaccines, the two COVID vaccines currently in development that do use fetal cell lines are from AstraZeneca and Janssen. And so what are the cell lines and why are they controversial? She says that the cell line really refers to cells that self-replicate and continue for many, many, many generations in the lab or when frozen, when can be retrieved even decades later and begin to divide again. But you know what? I'm not going to take anything, Jesse. They've got to prove to me that Pfizer doesn't have the aborted fetal cells. And I'm not going to take anyone's word for it. The big pharma is out to make money. And so, you know what? I'm going to just trust in Jesus and let the chips fall where they may.
Yes. Let me mention two things, Ruben. There's a woman by the name of a very solid Catholic, by the way. Very solid. Her name's Pamela Acker. She's the author of a new book. It's called Vaccinations, A Catholic Perspective. And she gives an excellent overview of this whole vaccination hype and the vaccines that are being used. That's her field of expertise. She worked in she's got a degree in this, a high degree in this, a master's PhD. And she's also a traditional Catholic, but she works in the industry. And so she comes at this from a very moral Catholic perspective. She's got a book, but there's also, she's on YouTube. She did an interview on Sensus Fidelium. Her name is Pamela Acker, and she's the interview she did is called Vaccinations, A Catholic Perspective. And she gives you all, and she's got a book, by the way. Her book is called Vaccination, A Catholic Perspective. It can be found at the Colby Center. And so she's making the round speaking. She's on the internet. I'm going to try to bring her on the show. That's what I'm working on. Let me read a quote from Bishop Strickland. He tweeted this November 16th. He says, Moderna vaccine is not morally produced. Unborn children died in abortions, and then their bodies were used as laboratory specimens. I urge all who believe in the sanctity of life to reject the vaccine, which has been produced immorally. Close quote. Bishop Strickland is also listed as a speaker at an online and anti-vaccination conference this fall, giving a talk entitled Rejecting the Culture of Death to Embrace the Sanctity of Life. And on the same day as Bishop Strickland's tweet, Bishop Joseph Brennan, head of the Diocese of Fresno, said in a video, quote, I won't be able to take a vaccine, brothers and sisters, and I encourage you not to. If it was developed with material from stem cells that were derived from a baby that was aborted or material that was cast off from artificial insemination of a human embryo. Mm. Ruben, these are the clear messages, and we're grateful that we have some bishops that have the courage and clarity not to mince words, because this is what Catholics need right now. We need generals who are giving us clear marching orders. Mm.
And some people who would object to us objecting to taking the vaccine would say, well, you know, hey, there were vaccines that in your lifetime, you know, that were used to prevent infections like or even death from like vaccines like against measles, mumps, rubella and chickenpox. And their cell lines are derived from fetal tissue. So they say, you've already been using it and you didn't even know it. So, you know, our culpability is not there because we didn't know. You know what we all know what it means to what's necessary for a sin to be a sin.
Yeah, you're not culpable of a sin until you know it's a sin, and Jesus is very clear on that in the Gospels. He says when you didn't know, you had no sin, but now that you know, your sin remains. So that's moral theology based on New Testament theology. Once you know something, mm-hmm. now you have an obligation to follow it. If you don't know something, that's actually called invincible ignorance or vincible ignorance, because you can find out, and we have found out throughout the course of time. But nonetheless, your culpability does not remain if you really didn't know.
I like the guys that we stop and find dope inside their center console. No sabía eso, you know. I didn't know, man. Or they're not my pants. They're in your pockets, you know. These aren't my pants. That's a common, every cop has heard that line.
Ruben, I'll tell you, there's another article, maybe we'll get to it during the week. It's called Aborted Fetal Cells Being Used in COVID-19 Vaccines, Moral and Ethical Questions Answered. Is it a sin to get vaccinated with ethically tainted vaccines? That's another good article. We'll probably use this on Thursday. Nonetheless, do yourself a favor and go on the internet and listen to the interview with Pamela Acker, A-C-K-E-R. Her interview is called Vaccination, A Catholic Perspective. She's actually worked in this field. She's a traditional Catholic. And she wrote a book on this. This is what her advanced degrees are in, virology and vaccines and stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she's taking our position. She goes to an FSSP parish and she's saying, we have to take a stand as Catholics. Yeah.
Hey, we just want to mention that at the cathedral this past Sunday, we had like 150, 200 people out there praying.
Wow.
And marching and praying, and a wonderful time. So, hey, this election's not over. We got to keep praying. You know, we still got till January 20th. And so everything could change. Be prepared. Stay churched up and get some supplies. Get some supplies in case this is shut down. You've been listening to Jesus 911. Stay tuned for Hands On Apologetics with Gary Mashuda. Keep the faith.